My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like tonight in our midnight mass to simply go through this beautiful gospel of the Nativity. And we owe a great debt to St. Luke, for it was St. Luke, the only one of the four evangelists, who gives us this story of the Nativity. Now, it is true that St. Matthew mentions the visit of the Magi, the slaughter of the innocents, and the flight into Egypt. Those three things which really are combined. But is St. Luke that tells us the story of the Nativity, also the presentation in the temple, the loss, and then the finding of the boy Jesus in the temple at the age of 12? St. Luke gives us these beautiful stories of the Nativity. And it is believed that he learned these details from our Blessed Mother herself, that St. Luke had a great devotion to Our Lady, and he visited her and plied her with questions about our Lord's life. And obviously, of course, he was inspired by the Holy Ghost in what he wrote. And he tells us that the emperor, Caesar Augustus, decreed a census to be taken of all his dominions, the entire Roman Empire. Now, there were two reasons for this. One, to know how many subjects he had. But the other reason is that the Romans wanted to make sure that they collected taxes. And so they wanted to know who all the subjects were that thereby would give taxes. Now, this particular emperor, his name was Octavian. But his reign was so glorious, a 57-year reign, which is extraordinary. And it was glorious because there was peace throughout the world. There were no wars whatsoever going on for years. And thus it was the appropriate time for the Prince of Peace to enter the world. But as I said, this emperor was so highly regarded, he became the first emperor and was called Augustus for that reason, Augustus Caesar. And so he decreed this census to be taken. Now, St. Joseph, being obedient to the civil authority, immediately made preparations to leave Nazareth, which is in the northern part of the Holy Land, the area called Galilee, to travel south to the town where his forefathers were from, in particular King David, and likely he himself may have been born in Bethlehem. At any rate, it is a journey of approximately 90 miles. And you can imagine our Blessed Mother, pregnant, about to give birth, and Joseph and Mary traveling in the wintertime all the way to Bethlehem to register in this census. Our Lord was of the lineage of David. When the angel appeared to our Blessed Mother at the Annunciation, he said that she would bear a child and that he would possess the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So the Messiah was to come from the line of David. And we see that expressed in this gospel by St. Joseph, traveling to the town of David, Bethlehem, which is about 7 miles south of Jerusalem. So they arrive there after this difficult journey, and they cannot obtain any lodging. Now, an inn in those days was nothing like a hotel that we might be used to. Even the poorest hotel would be like a palace compared to the lodgings that could be obtained by travelers in those days. And yet, even with these mean hotels, there was no room for them whatsoever in Bethlehem. And so they took lodging in a cave carved out of the side of the hill, used to stable animals. And of course, we know that it was all by divine providence, divine arrangement that our Lord was born in a cave, in a stable, because he thereby showed us that we must not become attached to the things of this world. We must not pursue wealth and worldly goods, but rather seek the wealth of virtue, of humility, of detachment from the world, and again, spiritual treasures. Our Lord was born miraculously. Our Blessed Mother was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of her divine Son. Let me quote to you here from Saint Bernard. She went up to Bethlehem, her delivery being now at hand, bearing that most precious trust, bearing a light burden, bearing him by whom she was born. She alone conceived without defilement, carried without trouble, and brought forth her son without pain. Of course, our Blessed Mother, we celebrated this feast just a few weeks ago, her Immaculate Conception. She never had original sin, and therefore this effect of original sin, this punishment of Eve, which has thereby been passed down to all women, to bring forth their children in labor and in pain. Our Blessed Mother was exempt from that punishment. She, according to some mystics and spiritual writers, knelt in prayer, and our Lord miraculously came through her, was born. Another quote, this is from our Blessed Mother, appearing to Saint Bridget of Sweden, and she said this, "I brought him forth, as thou hast now seen me, kneeling alone in prayer in the stable. For with such exultation and gladness of soul did I bear him, that I felt no trouble nor any pain when he went out of my body. But immediately I wrapped him in the clean clothing which I had prepared long before. And when Joseph saw these things, he marveled with great joy and gladness that I had brought forth without assistance." So Our Lady wrapped the divine child with swaddling clothes, bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, a wooden manger, a manger used to feed the cattle. That manger is still preserved to this day. It is in the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome and can be seen, not touched, behind glass, etc., in a beautiful reliquary. One can also visit the cave where our Lord was born. And there is connected to it another cave, which was the dwelling of St. Joseph. Beautiful thoughts to reflect upon how the Savior deigned to come into the world, the circumstances that he chose. And then his birth was announced by an angel to shepherds who were keeping the night watches with their flock. According to tradition, there were three of them. And they then, after hearing the glad tidings, went to Jerusalem and found the child as the angel said they would, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Those three shepherds lived holy lives, according to tradition, were buried, and then a church was built over that spot where they were buried. But when they left, they went back and they told the other shepherds, and they shared this wonderful news with others. And now, we know that after the angel had announced the tidings to them of the birth of the divine child, that he was joined by a multitude of the heavenly spirits, singing and praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." We have the beautiful prayer in the Mass, the Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo. It comes shortly before the epistle, after the prayers at the foot of the altar, after the introit, the Gloria. And that is modeled on this prayer or this hymn, this exaltation of the angels. One of the saints says that all the angels left heaven and went down to Bethlehem to be there when our Lord was born. So think of the first adorers. There was our Blessed Mother, there was Saint Joseph, there were the angels, and there were the shepherds. Later, there were the Magi, there were others, adorers of his infancy. But I mentioned earlier Saint Luke, and one of the beautiful statements that Saint Luke makes twice, after the Nativity and also later after the presentation in the temple, he says, Mary kept all these words, pondering them in her heart. Imagine the recollection, the reflection, the prayer of our Blessed Mother as she contemplated, reflected upon these wonderful mysteries, the divine birth in the stable, Almighty God, the infinite, becoming a helpless child, and how she had been chosen to be his mother. She kept all these words in her heart. She prayed, she meditated, she contemplated the divine works. Let us reflect on this holy night, especially why Jesus came, why he came into the world at all to redeem us, and what gratitude we owe our divine Lord for not leaving us in the sorry state that Adam and Eve had left us, with original sin and its effects and the gates of heaven closed, that Jesus came into this world to satisfy the justice of his heavenly Father, to atone for original sin and for actual sin, to make it possible for us to get to heaven. Let us express tonight our love and gratitude to our Lord for what he has done for us. And let us especially vow and promise that we will serve him faithfully all the days of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.